Welcome everybody to Backyard's Finest Podcast with the finest gentleman here and here.
What's up?
And as usual, we're here to bring you everything in Batman, Superman, pop culture, and more. We're still working on the and more.
Yeah, well, that's and more is all the movies that we pick. So yeah.
And tonight, your host with the most, Jerry, still the Green Lantern from Ola, and I'm gonna go this way. Oh, I was trying to go to the left. Hold up.
it's all yours, man.
I'm sorry. Hey guys, I'm Matt from freaking Gotham. What's up?
And I'm Josh. And
this guy all the way over there.
Yeah, I'm Josh from Metropolis. How's everyone doing? I hope everyone's well. It's been a little bit since we did this. We were supposed to do this last week, but Matt had the sniffles and he canceled it. While I had COVID, I was still willing to do this, and Matt had sniffles.
No. Every 2 seconds, I was fucking coughing like an asshole. The whole time.
Matt had COVID.
I'm glad you're over COVID.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I'm done with COVID. Yeah. I had COVID and it wasn't fun. So now I'm done. I'm good and healthy now.
Well, as usual, our opening segment is BSBS, Batman, Superman, or anything other interesting topics. Josh, why don't you go ahead and take it away this time?
Okay. Should I just like reveal one thing and then we'll go in order, or should I do all my stuff, because I have a little bit.
I say let's just do one thing and go.
All right, we'll do one thing time. Okay. All right, so I just purchased this fossil from an antique shop. It was cool. My sister was hating on me. I thought it was awesome. And this is a genuine fossil. This is a tooth from an ancient reptile, and it's from 60 to 80 million years old. And this is a Mosasaurus tooth. If you don't know what a Mosasaurus is, it's an ancient swimming reptile from the Cretaceous period, or even before. But this genuine
Lost Jurassic cool. Park 1, Jurassic World 1.
Yeah, it's the same one in Jurassic World, but that the scale of that one is way too big. It's probably more closer to the size of the great white shark that it eats. That scene where it eats a great white shark? It's not that big. It's probably as big as a great white. But this is it. This is genuine tooth. I wish the light was kind of like, there you go. There it is. I thought that's it was cool. Yeah. Okay. I got to find out like how to display it. I almost got to like put it in a box or something. But this is
did it cost you a pretty penny?
It only cost I thought it was a bargain. It cost me $25. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm buying this for $25.
Is it real?
It is.
It's just totally plaster.
Real. It's totally real. Here, I even did a lick test and it's six to my tongue.
Okay, so next time I go over your house, I'm going to just walk into a chem lab. It's going to be a chem lab. And I'm going to be like, Josh, what's happening? Put on the coat, please. What do you mean the coat? Put on the coat, please.
There's
Dino DNA.
We can make a Mosasaurus, even though there's probably no DNA left in this, because DNA deteriorates over only a couple million years. So I just did the licking test. If you guys don't know, paleontologists, this is like, if it sticks to your tongue, then it's a fossil. And it just did. So yeah, I wanted to share that. I gotta figure out how to display that. Yeah.
Okay.
So Jerry, yeah, go ahead.
I have a few things of BS I want to share, but I guess the biggest thing is earlier today, Microsoft just bought Activision Blizzard for $70 billion.
Wait, for real? Oh my god.
Yep.
Oh my god.
So now they have Candy Crush or whatever the company that does Candy Crush. They have them. They have Diablo, StarCraft, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, and Overwatch, like, under their belt to just, you know, kerfuffle and meddle in as they see fit.
So are we going back to Xbox? What the hell is happening? I don't get this anymore.
I don't know. I think this was an interesting power play because Microsoft is definitely slowly turning into the Disney of gaming industries.
They are. They literally are. But, like, it's just like, what the fuck? It's just a what the fuck moment. It's like, it's what the hell. I literally, when you guys were talking about it, I was at work and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Then I see more things going on Instagram. I'm like taking a break. And then I'm like just sitting there with my dad at like, it's around 2:30. I'm waiting for the IT guys at my job to help me fix some problems at work. I'm just like, this hits me. I'm like, this sucks. I just lost a franchise for PlayStation that I really want to play on there at the time. For freaking,
Spyro and Crash.
Like, I'm not a big Crash fan. I enjoy the character and the games, but, like, I'm not the skilled player to play Crash with the platform crap. And I get screwed up sometimes with that crap. Spyro, I love the storyline and the way that you can just control a dragon. And it was easier in a way. But, like, Spyro went downhill when it became a partnership owning. But now it's going to be literally just Microsoft. Once Microsoft got in there, Spyro kind of went, meh, it was storyline proper for me.
So do they own Naughty Dog? They own Naughty Dog too? Is that? Isn't
I don't think they do.
Isn't Naughty Crash Dog Bandicoot Naughty Dog?
Who's Naughty Dog's parent company?
No, Naughty Dog is Sony still. Naughty Dog's a separate, is a Sony company.
Still Sony.
So, I know, that'd be a Sony company. They would not let that go because Uncharted is under it.
Yeah.
If Uncharted was not under Naughty Dog, and they would be like, yeah, sure, take Naughty Dog. Go ahead.
I know Crash was Naughty Dog at some point.
No, Crash was Naughty Dog. And then was Activision took them over. Took him over later on. That's what happened. It went like it did the original set of games. And then the other games that moved out to Activision because he did the same thing with Spyro. He did the cross platform. He did the both platforms get the game now. They went to Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sharing him. And then, Naughty Dog got the rights to use him in Uncharted 4 just for shits and giggles because it's Naughty Dog. They got permission. They're like, all right. They were doing that, the remaster of the trilogy set at the basically the same time when, Uncharted 4 was coming out. So. Well, kind of worked.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So who knows? Microsoft, they might turn into, you know, like I said, the Disney of gaming because they already own Bethesda. So now they have a lot of other big titles under them. So yeah. Who knows?
What's it called? They're basically the Teddy of freaking gaming. They're showing their big stick. Teddy Roosevelt.
Sony's going to have to step it up now.
Oh, they lost a lot of their... basically, most of the big games come from Activision. Blizzard is... that's more PC-wise, I would say. We only got really Diablo out of it. Blizzard gave us WoW, that'd be different. It'd be a bigger ballgame.
Yeah, they have they have Overwatch, World of Warcraft, that's Diablo,
StarCraft.
Yeah, and yes,
they got a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with this newfound power.
Yeah, I mean, World of Warcraft's pretty big, so that's probably
that's
one of the biggest grabs.
Including with now we're able to, was it, like, cross-platform play with everybody. So, like, if they can, like, you know, find a way to figure out how to properly port WoW onto the Xbox and cross-play with everybody on WoW to PC edition, that would be a lot of big changes, but... Wasn't Blizzard in some shit anyway that's going on right now?
I think they were. I remember what you're Jimmy talking about.
Jimmy likes to let us know like certain issues, our friend Jimmy. And last time we knew Blizzard, one of Blizzard's company, like development companies inside of them, is in trouble.
Yeah, for like sexual harassment or something like that.
Yes.
Every company.
Yeah, but this one's a lot worse than a minor bullshit thing that supposedly. So.
Oh, Matt.
That was my major thing.
Yeah, Matt, what do you got?
What you got?
Okay. Okay, so I have this literally bullshit and something to get Jerry's reaction to. What's it gonna say? The major thing that's happening with me with my big news is the writer for Transformers King Grimlock is supposedly coming to my hometown Hyde Park, to our comic book store down the street from me. He's gonna be doing some signings of some of his works and hanging out with some people at the comic book store, Alter Universe. And he's just going to be doing his own thing. His name's Steven Orlando. And he stated that he's putting out an X-Men comic book series called X-Men Marauders. And he's going to be continuing the Grimlock kind of like series that he's going to make. I don't know where it's going to continue from of how the ending of the King Grimlock stuff, he's going to continue onward with that, or just do another Grimlock storyline that he's just going to spin out of nowhere, but be related to the King Grimlock stuff. I don't know. But it's supposed to, I was told by the owner that runs the comic book store, Anthony, that he's supposed to come by sometime in March. They haven't finished the details due to the COVID, all that stuff news. And he's going to let me know when that's going to happen. But I'm excited to actually go and hang out with, like, go there and get signed comics from him.
Oh, that's
dope. And maybe hopefully do an interview. That's what I'm hoping to. But I can't wait for that.
Oh, that's cool. I'm jealous.
Yeah. If you find any of the Steven Lando's any of his work, he is signing some of his comics and sending them out to comic book stores, actually. Because, what's it called? The owner of Alter Universe, Anthony, he showed me like a stockpile of like other comics that he has that have signatures on there of his that he just sends out. He like basically just like plops out autographs just randomly and box orders of comics.
Are you getting one?
Nope.
I can actually go now and get when they open tomorrow and just get an autographed one.
Get one now.
No.
I forgot all about the King Grimlock series. I'm so jealous.
His final, King Grimlock's final was an issue is coming out in February. It's coming out February 2nd.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
That's the last one. Yeah. So I can't wait. And I've been enjoying that they have multiple, like, different styles of cover art. Yeah, I can't do this ever right.
Just hold it still. Stop moving it.
I know, but I wanted to fit in. I'm trying to get in the middle.
Oh, my God.
I kind of prefer this one more.
Because it's badass looking.
Yeah, it looks badass, but I'm like...
I like the dinosaur. Cool
too. I like this one too, but it's 3D. What?
Is that a dragon or a dinosaur?
This is like this is a dragon. That's a dragon.
You're kind of like, it's kind of like out of focus. I kind of see it. That's not helping. I think it's just like the quality of your, yeah.
Probably the reflection. But
my favorite, I don't have it near me right now, but I do, my favorite cover art at the moment that I actually own on me is the volume 2 one. It's issue 2. It's him crawling out of a prehistoric plant monster that's trying to eat him in the issue. And so he's just like climbing out of it. It looks dope.
Let me know if a Mosasaurus is in it.
Hmm?
Let me know if a Mosasaurus is in it.
Definitely not. But I probably will. I don't know. It's set, the storyline is set in a prehistoric setup, like a medieval prehistoric mashup story, like storyline. So we could have a Mosasaur at some point, maybe. Yeah. But if I'm gonna, I'll share the issues, issue 2's cover art, and probably those two other ones on Instagram's in the story somewhere down the probably tonight.
Cool.
Or a better video, like picture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely share those.
Yeah, I want to see those.
Yeah,
I sent you the two the issue for the dual covers.
But that's I didn't send you issue 2.
I need to send you issue 2 and 3. Well, technically, I have 3 right. Issue 3 is this one.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah. It's just him with a freaking dinosaur head in his hand. Still need to read it.
Speaking of comics, I got the original Spider-Man comic books.
Okay.
The graphic novel. Oh, so it's cool. Like a collection, like of like all the first issues. I guess it comes with 9 issues on the back. Like the first time he sees fights a lizard, Dr. Octopus, and I just read the first one. And you know what? We just reviewed the origin of Spider-Man last week, and it's pretty damn accurate. That cartoon is very accurate to the comic book.
I was like, holy crap. Is it really?
Yeah, it really is. Basically, it's very close. Even like the stuff in the beginning with the two guys, like calling him a bookworm and like trying to set him up with like a girl on a date and like him jumping over the car. And Uncle Ben does not say with great power comes great responsibility. It's just Spider-Man says it just like in the cartoon. So he can't even blame the writers of the cartoon for kind of the hokey storytelling. That's just how it is in the original comic book. So I don't know when. I don't know. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He actually did it right. Okay.
I'll do like, I don't know, kind of like like show like panel next to the cartoon on Instagram or something, just so you get to see what I'm talking about. But it's pretty accurate. I was surprised. The only thing that they didn't have, I think it was just more because of time, was the wrestling segment, you know. But other than that, it's pretty damn close.
Oh god.
Yeah, I've been reading like the original Superman comic books, and now I'm reading the original Spider-Man, and like it's definitely very cheesy, the Spider-Man comic books. I'm a little biased. I think the Superman comic books aren't as cheesy, but I'm a little biased. I would like to see if someone else's opinion on that. yeah, because it's always like Spider-Man, it's like a scientist and something goes haywire, and that's like every Spider-Man villain, you know. And with Superman, it's a multitude of different things than just, you know, villain of the week.
Well, like Superman, like that's the one thing against Superman. Superman has like a larger like scale to him. Like he can just go from like helping a neighborhood to like destroying the world.
His villains have a lot of depth to him.
Yeah, now,
yeah,
like
Yeah, you know, that I mean, out of all the villains, Batman definitely has the best villains. He has like the ones with the most depth, and like they're more like psychotic. Which I mean, some of Spider-Man villains are kind of like that. Well, yeah, it's an interesting juxtaposition seeing the two. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know
if you get that one.
I just got it. When did I get it? Like a couple of days ago, over the weekend. There's a comic book shop literally right next to the gym I go to. So it's like, oh, I'm going to get a comic book today. I had a dream that I was reading the original Spider-Man comic book. So I was like, oh, well, now I have to get it. I had a dream that I was reading it. So,
it's fitting.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys, did you guys see the Moon Knight trailer or the reveal of the Batgirl costume? Have you seen that?
I saw the Batgirl costume, and I saw behind, like, I've seen, like, clips from the Moon Knight trailer and, like, behind, like, a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff and, like, bullshit that people would have been posting. But yeah, I've never seen the trailer yet.
I haven't seen
it. I haven't watched the trailer, but I know it exists. That's what I was going to bring up next. I'm glad you beat me to it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Okay, with Moon Knight, I kind of dig it, where they're going with it. I don't know. I'm not, like, 100% fan of Moon Knight. I know hearing bits of him. I never read any of his comics. I only got him from, like, video games and some here and there times he, like, shows up in
like another Marvel comic show. Book. Yeah.
Yeah.
I seen him in, like, Ultimate Spider-Man I used to read, and he would, like, show up sometimes in that. He just seems like Marvel's Batman. That's kind of what I get the gist of. He's kind of like a Batman. He's like a
jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's.
I don't know if he has any powers or not. I have no idea.
I think he does, because it's like there's like a creature, like some kind of a skeleton creature that manifests. It looks like from like the photos I've seen that's helped giving him powers.
Okay.
And of sorts. If anybody watching us, correct us. Yeah, and he looks like it looks like a skeleton bird, like that's like in like ceremonial robes that has just like you just see it just a skeleton bird head, and he like does every like gives him the powers or like shows him like a way of how to do things or something like that, and I think that's kind of neat, but I don't know how it's gonna look live action, because I saw a comparison of like kind of what you see in the trailer of it to what I see in the comics. And I'm like, the comic one looks awesome, but I'm kind of paranoid about skeleton 3D animation. skeleton animation and 3D and like CGI and all that stuff. I'm kind of like, it's a hit and miss, because it can look really good and real, or it can just look flimsy and rubbery.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
I haven't watched it yet. I got to see how this is going to be, because it's Moon Knight. I don't really care. So if I watch it, I'll watch it. If not, the internet will spoil it for me.
Yeah.
True. But people are trying to compare both of these to, like, compare Moon Knight to the new Batman movie coming out, because it's supposed to be, like, crazy shit. What?
I don't know.
I don't know either. No so
idea. Here,
so I don't know. It's supposed to be some weird stuff happening. I don't know.
What the hell is it? I want to show the image of it.
I don't know. The Batgirl stuff, the Batgirl outfit, it's kind of neat where they're going, but at the same time, I'm like, are we really going backwards, kind of? Like we're kind of going like it feels like we're going backwards into like a few years ago, her purple outfit that she used to run around in.
Yeah, well, before
or she's still in it. I haven't seen that much of Batgirl in it, like in anything anymore.
I have to look up these still images.
Yeah, hold on, I'm gonna show you both of them. So this is the Moon Knight image I seen.
Yep.
I don't know. I haven't seen the trailer. It looks like just a still from the trailer. And then the Batgirl, here's Batgirl right here. It looks like it's reminiscent of the New 52 Batgirl with the jacket and the zip up. It looks very close to it. And I know what you mean, Matt, with it does seem like they're kind of going backwards. I don't know if Batgirl is going to be affiliated with Batman. I mean, what are they going to do? It would be nice to have that connection, like, oh, she trained with Batman or something, instead of just, like, on her own. Because, like, I feel like the characters, you know, on their own without Batman don't really work, at least nearly as well. So it's like,
yeah, I don't know, that's what their main glue of connection.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. I don't know. It's going to be weird unless they, unless down the line, like, down, if you, this, it's a movie coming out for Batgirl, right? It's a movie, right?
Yeah, it's coming out 2022.
So, like, if they try to, like, what's it called?
So here's, like, the
mash it together somewhere. Okay, I see where they're going with
the
it.
Jacket and the zip up.
Like, let's say with the new Batman that's coming out, at the end it with, like, they're going to do a time skip or something, maybe we can have it connect to that Batman if they coexist in a way.
I don't
think, but we don't know where this Batgirl is going to land. Is it going to land with the Zack Snyder shit that's trying to happen, or what is it?
DC's such a mess right now. It's like, it seems like
DC knows what DC is doing.
No,
it doesn't. I really doesn't.
I wish they would just continue on like what they're doing with, you know, what they did with the Justice League with James Gunn's The Justice League, and just kind of have new directors kind of just take on different characters and new characters and just have different visions. Like, you know, keep the Zack Snyder universe, but like build upon it and maybe fix it. But I wouldn't, it seems like they're going to fucking completely retcon it, and now it's going to be even more filled with holes than it already is.
But how do you retcon something?
That's, well, they're going to do that with the Flash.
Using your characters for. You're that's using what the Flash their characters. Point's
do. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. The I Flash know. Flashpoint movie well, like, is just going to like get rid of the universe, I guess.
It's so dumb.
It doesn't even sound exciting. Like with the Spider-Man movie, they set up the multiverse, and this is like actually something the fans wanted to see. Everyone wanted to see the three Spider-Man working together. They wanted to see the Green Goblin. Yeah. No one wants to see these characters disappear and then be replaced by, you know, lesser versions of themselves. Like, I'm not saying like Supergirl's a lesser version of Superman, but it's nice to have Superman and Supergirl in the same fucking universe. But it seems like they're completely replacing Superman with Supergirl.
It's like CW. It's like they're taking CW and literally saying, we're not just going to leave you as TV shows. We're going to broaden your freaking range and get you to movies, motherfucker.
And that's,
you're getting to movies.
That seems like
it's almost like they're trying to pull, like Crispy said, their TV shows, because that's really what's been their saving grace is their TV shows.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that's successful. But even their TV shows are like, they get a little too political and like too cheesy at points. Like, I like it to a certain degree. But, I don't know. I don't want them to go in that realm, because the TV shows, I just see them as like a cheaper version of, you know, the movies, themselves. You know? So exactly. So like, I mean, not there's anything wrong with that. I have been enjoying Superman and Lois. I only seen like a select few episodes, but I've been enjoying that, and it seems like they're kind of bringing up production value with that. But, you know, I don't know. I like keeping those things separated, and I just wish they would just kind of keep going with the James Gunn route and just, you know, getting different directors and kind of lighting up the tone a little bit, I guess, you know?
Nope.
They need to do something. They won't. Because if they're going to use Flashpoint to erase what little universe they've built to reestablish themselves,
exactly.
This is going to be New 52 into New 52 Rebirth all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather that works Injustice with the comics. Happen now.
I don't like Injustice. I don't like Injustice. I don't like that story.
I know.
But I guess it would be something. I don't know. It's so
stupid. It'd be a way to retcon everybody. Superman goes fucking bad. He kills everybody. And then we just say, all right, Superman ruined this one. Let's go to the next one.
They're doing it. They're doing it without doing that.
Yeah, but this is how the Zack Snyder Justice League ends, with that credit scene ending, is that Superman's fucking evil and just ruining things. Why not just make it a thing? Just make it a thing already.
I got to agree with Crispy, because at this point, Injustice might as well do it. Because
I just rather have.
Why not? I don't want
Superman. Superman started it off. Had Superman fucking end it, and let's just see in live action Superman busting his hand through Joker and throwing him to side.
I don't want that at all. Unless they bring back, unless they bring actual fucking the Superman that everyone likes, you know, the one that smiles and lighthearted, and then he fights off the evil Superman like they did with the first game. Then I would be all right, a little okay with it. But Superman's been an asshole throughout this whole universe. I don't want Superman to be an asshole. That's not why I like the character. It's like
if they do, they bring back. I know, but if they do do the way the game goes, then you get the good Superman again, and then we reboot. You reboot again. That's how we retcon the fuck out of this.
They're already doing
Snyder
it with
shit.
Just Flashpoint. They don't even need
that. Yeah, you know they're going to fuck that up. You know they're going to fuck that up. Because they're not going to be able to erase anything.
They would fuck up the fucking Injustice thing, too. They will fuck up that, too. So, like, that's not going to help anything, either.
I literally hate the actor that plays the Flash. I'm not a big fan of him. And
you want to be my first choice.
I really wouldn't. If that was a thing, I'd be like, Flashpoint, he fucks himself up. He becomes somebody else in a different actor. I'd rather have that happen. And so, what's his name from the CW show? Grant they switch fucking places. They switch fucking places and all kinds of shit. Or we get somebody that actually looks like the Flash comes in play.
Yeah, some blonde kid. That would be cool.
And it's just some greasy-ass looking kid that has a freaking metal suit that runs really fast.
I don't really like him either. He had, like, the better scenes in the Zack Snyder Justice League. He had, like, one of the better scenes in that movie, but it wasn't really because of that actor. It was just how the writing was.
Yeah, the one thing is, like, it makes me skeeve when I see him because he just looks gross.
He does look kind of
too at some points. He looks gross. And I'm like
the
he's
Flash got on drugs and then got off drugs.
Yes, and I'm like, I want to see the Flash actually be successful instead of like a kid that's off the street that's living on the street more, because his suit literally looks like garbage just put together. And it's just like, why? Like, how did he even get the technology, the parts to actually make it?
He stole it.
So he's a thief.
He's
a thief. He's a fucking thief too. At the same time.
Yep.
So like, it's all fucked up. It's really garbage.
I don't know. Let's get off.
Man,
we gotta get off this. Jerry, save us.
For the last piece of BS news I have. I already told Crispy this. So
I got
the Foo Fighters are going to make a movie.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. I saw
I hate you.
I watched the trailer for it and I'm like, this is fucking Kiss meets Phantom of the Park all over again.
It's worse.
It looks more entertaining.
I think it looks like it's gonna be funny.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a cringe show. It's literally gonna be a cringe. You're gonna get cringed out by watching these. Like, if you enjoy the Foo Fighters, I've never been a big fan of them. But if you like enjoy them as musicians, and like you're gonna watch this and be getting cringe, like, I enjoyed listening to your music, and you're doing this shit.
I like some of their stuff. I'm not like the biggest fan, but
They've got a couple of good hits.
I like David Grohl. It seems like it's going to be tongue in cheek. It seems like it's going to kind of make fun of itself anyway. So I don't know. I'm all for it. Whatever. Fuck it. I kind of want more bands to make, weird movies. You know, they used to. It seemed like more of a thing that they would do like back in the 80s, and it kind of died off. But now, you know, I'm kind of hoping like this opens the doors for more weird fucking band movies, because I mean some of them are pretty good. Not fucking Kiss meets whatever the fuck Six Flags. I mean it's not really good, but you know I think it'll be better than that. It has to be. There's no way it won't.
If yeah, the lead singer of Disturbed isn't in it, I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 10 because it looks like he belongs in there somewhere.
He belongs to be the demon that's inside this whole. That's what I was gonna state too. I literally stated this to Jerry in our messaging too. We both agreed on that. I was like, if the lead singer from Disturbed is in this, I'd be sold more because I want him to be the creature or the demon creature that shows up at this like, and like basically possesses him in the movie. We just need to hear "Down with the Sickness" and he gets possessed. That's it. God. And then that's the only non-Foo Fighters song.
No, the other non-Foo Fighters songs have to be from Nirvana. Because you got to bring Nirvana back with Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Yeah, but Kurt Cobain is dead. So
yeah.
No, they can bring the spirit of him back as a demon. I don't know.
They'll make some terrible CGI Kurt Cobain.
The way they want him to be. Like,
just like what they did with Harold Ramis. They'll do the same thing with Kurt Cobain. You know
Kurt Cobain fans are going to be pissed.
Yeah, a lot. All of them.
All five of them.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Oh, damn it.
I think there's more than five.
I know there's more than five. I think there's at least 20 or 30 at my worst.
I think there's at least, there's at least 12.
Oh, wow. The roasting. No, we're not doing our segment. We're just going to roast Kurt Cobain.
No, we're not. I like Nirvana. I like him better than Foo Fighters. I'd rather listen to Nirvana than Foo Fighters.
I'm like in the midst with Foo Fighters and Nirvana. I never really dabble with them. If they're on the radio, I listen to them.
Yeah. What the hell was I going to say? Oh, the last BSBS I wanted to bring up was we just posted a new video of Peter Venkman interviewing a bunch of cosplayers at Saratoga Comic Con. So if you want to check that out, that was just uploaded. So you'll find it. It's on the YouTube page. So I just
don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Yeah.
I got something for Jerry.
Oh God.
Jerry. I decided to rewatch Ghost Stories again.
Oh, Jesus Christ in heaven.
And I end up showing my dad an episode.
Was it the bunny?
It was the bunny.
What did he say?
He just didn't know what to do. And he just said, "This is a lot to handle, and how was this supposed to be a kind of a kid's show?"
Okay, so for context, Ghost Stories is an older anime, I think from the 90s, early 2000s. It did really poorly in Japan, so when it came to the US, they told them, "Do whatever you want with it, we do not care."
I remember you mentioning that, yeah.
Yes.
And there's a specific episode with a bunny, and it is the second most god-awful thing in existence.
I'm just going to say the whole series is god-awful. The whole thing. You got, what's it called? You got a, oh my God. Thanks to the English dubbing, you got a pervert of a pervert child. One of the characters is a pervert. One character is a born-again Christian. One is just a mean bitch that's trying to learn, like, have control. There's a little brother that's mentally challenged thanks to the way they wrote him as the dubbing. And then you got the Jewish kid. And then, yeah, that's it. That's the five characters.
And the born again Christian bicker at each is other. Such a born again Christian.
The born again Christian is just like, and she's perfectly written for her character. And the fucked up thing is, she's like the senior of the school. Like, she's a senior in school or junior class, and she's already been through so much of as a kid to make her a born again Christian. It's not even funny. Oh god. But no, this show is ridiculous. Right in the morning, what is it? The morning and this morning we literally had like a hour session of bullshitting around talking about it. With me, Billy, my coworker Steve, and my coworker Sean just listening to us talking stupid with this show.
Did you get Sabino just didn't know in how on to it? Handle.
So Bino came in around lunchtime. He wasn't there for all of it. But we ended up talking about how not to summon a demon lord. That's a different discussion.
So I think that's going to conclude BSBS.
Yes.
On to the first movie of the original versus remake round two. I guess we should make this a reoccurring segment now since I'm doing this for the second time.
Yeah, I mean, this will be, it depends on the episode, I guess. You know,
whatever. We'll work on it. It's
thanks to you guys making this a trend. Yeah. That's the funny thing. Thanks to you guys making this a trend. I'm actually thinking of doing one down the line, too.
Okay, don't do it next episode.
No, you gotta space them out.
You gotta space these
out. No, I'm just saying, down the road.
All
right. So, I guess I'll take the 1985 one. Oh, so,
1985.
I will be giving a brief synopsis of the 1985 film Fright Night and all of its 92% Rotten Tomato glory. So the movie's about a young man named Charlie Brewster, whose neighbor, you know, he's a little suspicious of. He's got these inklings that, you know, hey, this guy's, you know, something ain't right about that guy. You know, he kind of rubs me the wrong way. And he's on this binge, like, you know, something's wrong with this dude. I don't trust him. Later on down the line, he sees and hears a woman get murdered. And he's like, this guy's a freaking murderer. And it just devolves into there to Charlie finding out that his neighbor's a vampire. And from there on, he tries to recruit a recently fired TV host, Peter Vincent, to help him hunt this vampire because he believes that, yes, he's a really hunted vampires. You know, this man knows his business. But it turns out that was just a facade. And he tells him, kid, I can't help you. Leave me the heck alone. And the story just continues. I'm not going to say on a downward spiral, but it just continues on a very gruesome, I guess you could say is a word.
Yeah.
You could say it's 1985. So I guess to them, it would be gruesome. A gruesome path of murder, kidnapping, and Stockholm syndrome. To the point where Peter Vincent is like, okay, kid, you know what? You're right. I'm going to help you kill this vampire. And so they fight the man and his colleague, who I think is a zombie or something. I'm honestly not very sure. And eventually save the day and protect his hometown from being turned into vampires and being eaten.
Yeah,
that was a good synopsis.
Yeah, that's basically
10 out of 10.
I just found this out just now. The director and writer is the same guy. It's directed by Tom Holland. Not Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man.
He's that old. He looks so good.
Gentleman. Who I guess Don Child's Play as well. And he wrote Child's Play, directed American Psycho 2. Oh, not American Psycho. Psycho 2, which that's interesting. And a bunch of other horror movies. So, yeah, I didn't even know Tom Holland was someone else. So that's cool. Oh, I guess he directed Child's Play as well. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Child's Play. That's another discussion for another episode.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. Let's not do a comparison with the Mark Hamill one for that. I would rather not.
I still haven't even watched that.
I haven't either. It doesn't look so good. But.
So I'll go ahead and take the reins and give my first thoughts and impressions. So going into this, this is a total like 80s movie to me. You've got a horny kid that he's like, hey, come on, babe, let me put the tip in at least or something. God, we've been going steady for 6 months now. Come on, you're holding out on me. And she's like, no, I'm not ready. I'm too nervous. I can't do it. And then he's I don't know why he's so obsessed with his neighbor. I'm like, okay, his neighbor's a weird guy. But I'm like, if this was me, I wouldn't care. But I guess he was just so enthralled with him.
He saw the coffin being brought down, you know, so that was like, you know, the spider sense was going off at that point. We're like, oh, what's up with this guy? He's bringing a coffin in his basement. What a weirdo, you know?
Yeah, and then his freaking friend, Evil, is just making fun of him like, well, you know what, Brewster? You think he's a vampire? I'm like, man, this dude's a dick. I wish I would freaking kick him.
Yeah.
And then Evil. You see...
Fucking Ed.
Evil and then you see the neighbor get ready to bang this chick, and you see boobies on screen. I'm like, ooh, boobies in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't.
Not the first, Jerry.
They don't hide them in the 80s.
And then he sees his neighbor with his fangs and claws, and he's like, you son of a bitch, I knew you were a vampire.
Ah, they got to get the close-up of the hand first, too. Don't forget that gross, the fingers. They gain, like, was it, like, longer claws and everything?
So
I remember
gross.
They just keep zooming on those things first, and I'm like,
so
oh,
gross.
God.
But one of my favorite scenes had to have been when Peter Vincent goes to help him prove that he's not a vampire, and he's like, this is holy water, been blessed by a priest. I watched him do it myself. Drink this, and it will prove whether or not you're a vampire. Because he doesn't believe it. He thinks it's a hoax.
With the wink.
And then he's like, you see, Charlie, it was fake. He's a real guy. And then he pulls out his pocket mirror, and he's like, he's not there. And then he drops and he starts freaking out. And now he's like, oh, great. Now what have I got mixed up in?
Yeah, it's the instant gratification that he realizes, oh, shit, he is a vampire. And, like, yeah, he's just trying to just humor. What's his name? Charlie, the main character?
Yeah,
they're just
Charlie.
Trying to humor him and go like, oh, yeah, this is holy water. Oh, he drank it. He's not a vampire. You're safe now. And then, yeah, he actually gets that realization. Oh, shit. Like,
and
is this real?
I love how, like, Charlie pulls out the crucifix and he's like, I'm going to prove it more. I'm definitely going to prove it with, like, sticking the crucifix. And Peter's like, enough, Charlie. Enough with this silliness. And he walks away. Then he pulls out the thing and he's like, I did fuck up.
He realized he played himself like a dummy.
Yeah. These are real.
I do love his character, the Peter Vincent character.
I like one of my favorite scenes is literally when he fights Ed at his house.
Yeah,
that and he's just, like,
was
fighting
great.
Ed and everything, and I'm like, the thing is with Ed. Now, the thing, I was trying to talk to Josh about this, but Josh hasn't seen this movie in a long time. I was talking to him last night, and Josh was like, I still have to watch the movie. I haven't had time yet to watch the movie yet. And I was like, watch it, because I really want to talk about this part, because it really doesn't make sense to me. But, like, at the same time, like, it should make sense, but it's the part when, like, Peter Vincent stabs him in the chest in their fight, in their battle, and he's morphing. And he's like, I'm like, he's morphing from a werewolf. He's a werewolf. How is he a werewolf?
He's
Why
not
he
a werewolf?
Werewolf.
That's a thing that happens, like, in the classic Dracula. Like, he can transform into a bat. He can transform into a wolf. So Okay. It is a thing, like a vampire, pyre, I don't know, like ism, I guess.
It's a vampirism. Power to shapeshift.
Yeah, they could like shapeshift to like a wolf and a bat. And that scene when he stabs, he impales the wolf, and he like goes into the sky, like the chandelier or whatever. I was like, it got a visceral reaction from me. I was like, holy shit! It just looked like it like almost exploded. And the puppet was really like fantastic. Really good.
It was nice and well
and
done.
And I saw like limping when there was a wolf, when he's a wolf form, he's like limping out of frame, and I'm like, oh, I feel bad for Ed. I feel bad for the dog, him. So bad. Ed, as a human being, you're just an ass. But as an animal, I feel so bad for you.
No.
Peter Vincent did the world a favor. He put down a sick animal.
He did.
But the thing is...
And then he was a vampire slayer at that point. He proved himself. Yeah. Like, I could actually do
that. Well, that's the thing that's at the end of the... That's at the end of the movie. I'm sorry to do the skipping. You hear Ed's laughter at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. So is Ed really dead or is he alive?
I guess he's alive. It's like kind of ambiguous, and I guess. I don't.
He's in between life and death.
Yeah.
I would say I told Josh I was going to watch the second one, but I got works too late today to be able to watch it. So I'm going to literally make it my goal for next episode to let you know if what happens in two. If he actually, they try to bring back the Ed character as a main villain thing or what? Because I have a feeling that that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, let us know.
Or they said, let's make, or they're like, all right, we need you to just do an evil, weird freaking laugh at the end of the movie, and that's it. This sets something up for a new second movie. And he'd be like, all right, fine, but didn't I die? Who cares? No one's going to pay attention.
I loved Ed's makeup. His makeup was, like, super effective with, like, the
teeth. Oh,
it was really nice.
All protruding out.
It reminded me a lot of Thriller. False.
Yeah, it did. Rick Baker did the makeup for Thriller. I don't think he did the makeup for this movie. I'm looking up the makeup department. Ken Diaz and Rick Stratton, I guess they were the two main makeup artists in the makeup department. So it's not a Rick Baker production. I almost thought it was because they had a little nod to Rick Baker at the end of the movie where Peter Vincent is like showcasing like his next like ghoul. It's like he's showcasing aliens this time, and then it cuts to this terrible squid costume. And I guess that's the first creature that Rick Baker made for like a motion picture, and it's like the worst costume ever. He talks about it before, but I guess like the filmmakers for that particular movie were telling him, "Oh yeah, it's going to be in the shadows. You're not going to be able to see it." And then like when they film the movie, it's just like in broad daylight, and it looks awful. So I thought that was a nice little nod, and I loved the.
Speaking of makeup, they also got Richard Edlund, who is the head of Ghostbusters visual and makeup, to work on this as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? So this is pre-Ghostbusters. Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, when did this movie come out? 85?
Okay.
85.
So this is right after Ghostbusters. This is like...
Is it right after?
Yeah, this is the year after Ghostbusters came out, 84.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
So, this, I knew there was, because all of, like, the effects and visuals, they were on point and on cue, like, at every turn, except for the weird bit with the hands, but that's just a small grievance I have, because... The hands. I'm not into the hands.
What do you mean with the hands?
I'm not a big hands fan.
I think that's like when they're like melting and blowing up. Because when they're melting, that looked fucking awesome.
No, like when they were growing. Really cool. Like the
fingers were just elongated. Hands are not a good, just creepy. The hands are not a good like thing to show off that much.
It's creepy. His fingers grew twice their fucking size.
I know, you can see the simple but effective.
The funny thing is, I saw like the makeup caps they put on top of the tips while I'm watching this a little bit. Oh, I'm like paying attention. I'm like, yeah, those are caps. They did the caps on these things.
But even within that, everything was just like super, super good. Because I guess since they had just done Ghostbusters, you know, any mistakes with makeup or visuals they would have done, they just perfected and got right. Like, okay, we messed up here. Let's do it this way.
Yeah. With Ghostbusters, they had like no time to do the special effects, so they're like speed rushing throughout that movie. I think they had like a year to make that movie, just like the whole movie. But we're not talking about Ghostbusters.
One character I did not like in this movie was the Bill guy, the Billy guy. He's the helper of Jerry.
Yeah.
I don't have a helper.
You know a Billy.
Jerry the vampire.
The vampire.
Yeah, his deal.
I don't really understand his point.
Yeah. The thing is, he's just, I looked him up more because you're like, I don't know what the fuck he is. Yeah. So he's an undead minion. So technically, like he's basically a really good zombie voodoo bullshit mix up thing. Destroyed.
At first,
they don't really talk about him much. He's just there to be annoying.
At first, and I thought he was. You. At first, I thought he was like when they shot him and he came back up, I was like, oh, he must be a werewolf. That's cool.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they're like prepared to fight a fucking vampire, and then they have to deal with a werewolf on the like on top of it. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Now they gotta like kind of struggle to figure that out too. But you know, no, he just kind of dies.
Well, that would make more sense with the gun too.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I mean.
That's what I thought the gun was.
Yeah,
yeah. So like, but no, it's not. He's an undead minion. But it would have been a good twist. Maybe if we go back in time, we suggest an exit to them. But no, but it would make it probably 10 times even more better than it as is now. But no, the thing is, I don't like his character, but I think they did so good for me not to like his character because he's such a Weasley scum guy that I don't want to like.
He was super scummy.
He wasn't like a thing like I wanted to care about, but he did his role right. He confused, he annoyed, he pushed the buttons on Charlie. That's what he did. And that's what he was meant to be. He was supposed to be Jerry's bodyguard until nighttime, or if someone's on the case, he's trying to disarm the situation and get them off of Jerry's case. That's basically his role, and he did it right. So I'm not going to be mad at it. It's just, the character just... He just rubs you wrong.
I think it just would have won me over if they like set up that he was like undead, or like if they set or if they did the werewolf
at it or something.
Yeah, if they did something
like if a part fell off of him, Jerry, anything. Like let me fix
his
you.
His finger falls off. Yeah, anything.
Maybe like really? An ear moves slightly out of place.
Oh, like he's talking to Charlie and the ear falls off. He catches it. Like I got a headache or something, and he walks in the house.
Exactly. Like when the police officer comes or something like that. That would have been
That would have been a perfect chance right there.
Yeah.
It feels like they just like rushed, like they just not rushed, like they just kept having this momentum of the movie. So it felt like there's like if we added a little bit more like detail to this character, we're gonna slow us down a little bit. Let's just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep going. But there's a part. Did they continue the Ghostbusters 2?
They got a different
team. Because the makeup for Jerry's character, when he goes like ballistic and he's like in full vampire pissed off mode, when he did like full pissed off mode for Jerry and he has that big gruesome looking vampire look on him, I was like, that reminds me of Ghostbusters 2.
Oh,
when they were fighting. The big head and everything. There's this gross and like a. It looks like in Ghostbusters 2 of what's his name And he just like what the fuck? And I had a big freaking head on him.
The skull. Oh, I think Vigo? Ray. Is that what you're talking about?
Vigo, yes, Vigo. It reminded me of him.
Yeah, when like he's like possesses Ray, that part.
Yeah, possesses Ray and everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit, but it's not 100%.
They got a different makeup team for Ghostbusters 2. I forget who did it, but I remember.
Well, I'm just going to give it. They kind of like both looked similar, so it's kind of neat that they kind of like looked similar in a way. Hmm. Even though Ghostbusters 2 is like years later. A couple years later, so.
Yeah, I want to like say, I mean, this is like a minor thing that I just noticed, but like during the dog, when Evil Ed when turns into a wolf, like they cut from like a close up to of the wolf and then a wide shot of the wolf, and I was like, the fur patterns are changing. Is that the same dog? And then I was looking at him like, no, that's not. That's not even the same wolf. But like I feel like I would have been like the only person to notice that. It's not the same wolf for like when they interchange the shots, but it's such a minor thing, it doesn't even really matter. But I noticed like one has like darker patches, one's like lighter looking. So I just thought it was like
now,
a funny thing.
One character that I was not immediately drawn into, but I'm like, I love the way he's so well written and the actor carries the character, was Jerry the Vampire.
Yeah,
because we're not gonna get into the 2011 Jerry yet.
Yeah, I think he works
this
better.
One, he's like, he's like a cool guy. Like, oh, you know, you see him at the bars, like, you know, hey man, you mind if I have a beer with you, or you know, you want to play cards, pool, go fishing, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, he's not. They don't play him as the always sexy and seductive vampire. He's just, you know, yeah, he's, you know, he's a good looking gentleman, but he brings his own charisma instead of just his own look.
Yeah, I thought he was very seductive, especially with the Amy character. Like that was,
yeah, he was
like, oh my god.
Well, that's because he was trying to seduce Amy.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, he didn't overly do it. He brought his own charm into it. It's not like,
yeah,
get sexy, rip the shirt off. Do your thing. No, it's more like he hypnotized it was in the body her. Movement and acting and all that stuff. It actually worked. And it's not like they were forcing the sex appeal out of him. He's just like, it's just how he was doing it. It was working.
The undertones of it. And it like gets under your skin because like naturally vampires are just a seductive creature. So it's just like,
he was using all the subtle nuances you would use from, you know, obviously the lifetime of a vampire. Yeah. Like, you know, you meet a woman, you kiss her on the hand, you make eye contact, you know, you talk very friendly, very friendly and compliment, you know, everything about her. And even when they got to the club scene, it was like, even when she was running away, she found herself just drawn so into him from like all the nice things and whatnot he was saying to her.
That was another scene I did like too, with the nightclub scene when they're dancing and he kept disappearing. When she's realizing and she's not realizing what's happening, and she's realizing that he's not in the mirrors and he's a vampire. Oh god, I'm in the hands of the vampire. But at the same time, he's doing his job right as a vampire to seduce her, that she's losing it and she's not complaining or like trying to run away from him.
Like,
at the same time, it's like she's fighting, but at the same time she's losing. And I like that was a good scene of showing it, but I liked how she's having realization. I'm gonna say, kudos to the actress that plays the girlfriend. She had to mimic the same movements as if she's dancing with him at the same time, going from scene to scene. It was really good, and how they're still basically the same movements.
Yeah, and I thought she did well as a vampire as well. Like,
she played like a completely different character flawlessly.
Yeah.
Like, even when she was very innocent, struggling with the. Oh, I'm sorry, Josh, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying, like, she's like very innocent, and then, like, once she becomes a vampire, it's like so total opposite. You know?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, she was, yes, she played the role of the innocent girl next door, and then she immediately flipped and played her hot older sister.
Freaking the sheets.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, like, yeah, that like dress she's wearing perfect. Is pretty revealing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect to see that from such an innocent girl. But
vampires, man.
Yeah, the whole time, like when they're dancing too, it's like it's super seductive. He's like going up in a dress and stuff, and you like you don't know where his hands are going, but you kind of like make the assumption like you know where they went, and then like
I'm watching an 80s porn. Yeah. Almost. I'm like, I'm getting into the intro. This is what's happening. Got it.
Where's the pizza boy?
Yeah. <I'm> like,
yeah. That's later. That's totally interrupting.
I definitely got to agree with Josh. It was like the whole I'm not going to call it a dance number. I guess you could call it a scene. Like the whole dance scene, like both of them. They're just, you know, they're just physically showing you like, okay, she's matching all of his movements and taking it a step further. And he's trying to play the part of, okay, I have to control myself and resist these urges. But you see, you know, he's ever so close to giving in. And I was like, man, that is some good stuff. Like,
And this man's in a sweater.
Yeah.
He's in a sweater, motherfucker.
Oh, I know he's hot doing this.
This man, I'm not gonna lie, it's not like a 80s wear is a lot different to what we have now. Yeah. But thanks to Stranger Things, 80s wear is coming back in a way. But this man, if you see the club is not set up as what he's wearing. He is wearing just like a lounging outfit. And he's just like, I'm in the club. People are still, all the women are still looking at him like, okay, what's going on? Sweater's working for you. And then he just does his whole scene with everybody.
Yeah, I loved hearing the 80s music too, like during the dance club. Like that was cool.
I really like that score.
Yeah. Oh, the score was great too. I gotta say, like during the club scene, like he's getting away with Amy, right? He's like fine, and then like the bouncers are kind of like on his side. Like they get rid of Charlie. They're like, oh yeah, this guy's bothering you. All right, hey man, just like get out of here. And he was like on his way to leave anyway. And then he kind of reveals himself at that part, and then he just starts fucking killing people. And I didn't really understand why he did that, because he had the girl, he had everything what he wanted. He was gonna leave anyway. So I don't understand why he killed the two bouncers and then cause a ruckus. But then Charlie gets Amy again, but then they get separated throughout the crowd. And then, you know, he gets her in the end. It was just kind of confusing, like, why he did that. I didn't understand that.
I think he just did it to add insult to injury. You know, one of those petty kind of things.
Get away with it.
Because I'm agreeing. So I was like, man, that's kind of weird. You basically won the fight, so
yeah.
Why are you going to taunt him even more now?
Right.
That's just... that's something the 2011
Jerry. He's just showing that he... Not the
1985
Jerry.
Yeah.
He's...
Yeah.
Well, he's... What's 2022 Jerry doing, Jerry?
2022 Jerry... He's just a laid-back guy. He goes night fishing and goes on night picnics.
Oh, that's cool. I want to go night fishing. He could only do that at night. Night picnics are kind of creepy. I kind of want to see a vampire movie with a night picnic.
We should make it. We need to make it. We got a Jerry. We can make a new Fright Night. It's 2022 Fright
just
Night.
Called,
Jerry.
What's Jerry. Just called Fright Night? Night. No, it's just... Fright Night Night Picnic. That's the subtitle.
Fright Night Picnic. There it is.
It's a deleted scene. Yeah. It's just a deleted scene, which is Jerry walking up like, yo, what's up? Let's go. Let's have a picnic. And he just pulls out the picnic blanket, everything. Oh, he has a basket.
And then people just get freaked out because they see like some random shadow in under a tree, and they're like, holy crap! And then they're like, what are you? I'm just having a picnic. What's the problem? And then that's it.
Nothing's wrong with this area.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll get to the 2011 picnic at some point. But yeah, this movie is like total 80s, like total 80s cheese, and it's like the perfect amount of 80s. And I love Peter Vincent character, how he's like a night movie host on a local public access station, basically. And also, like, all the movie memorabilia he has in his like apartment. That was really cool to see. Like, there was like, they had Dracula, you know, the Bela Lugosi Dracula. He had like a case of some vampires like stuff. He just like had memorabilia all over the place, and I liked how they like scattered that through it.
They definitely made mention to the forerunners of, because I guess, you know, Van Stoker's Dracula, the old Wolfman, Invisible Man, they definitely made a lot of, I like the, like Josh said, the memorabilia where you see the old vampires, because it's a vampire movie, so you have to have the greats listed in there.
Yeah, it's like a love letter.
But like the 80s was a good... Well, like the 80s was a time period where they actually, like, I would say, like, 80s and 90s was a good time when they actually, like to, like, show, like actually be, like, appreciate to, like, those movies.
Yeah.
Newer movies are just, like,
just kind of,
what's the building blocks of our movie again? Oh, fuck those things.
Yeah.
Like, black and white movies,
what are those?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Who thought of that?
You're telling me Brendan Fraser didn't do the first Mummy? I don't care.
Well, that or the Tom Cruise Mummy. The what was it called?
We don't
the
talk Dark about Universe. That.
Oh, fuck that.
The Dark Universe.
We don't talk about that movie.
Well, that's
Brendan Fraser's where we stop.
That's
with mummies.
The direction that they were going. Like, that just shows like how
I don't care. How to touch just stop. Is. And then what's his name? What's his name? The guy Barge from The Hobbit. He's not the real Dracula? What? Because he has his own Dracula movie. That guy who played Barjo, what the fuck his name is, from freaking The Hobbit. I'm trying to think of what else he's in. He's in, shit.
I'm not going to help you.
I can't remember. I can't remember his name. But
Bilbo
he's Bang. Basically... No, not Bilbo Baggins. It's a different... It's a different guy. You think he's like Legolas in this movie, in the Hobbit movies, basically. Legolas. I never can pronounce the name right. But getting back on topic, I do like the Jerry battle scene, and when he turns into the demonic bat, I love that puppet. I want to own it.
That was a nice puppet.
I want to own that puppet of this bat, because this bat is awesome looking. It's something that I wasn't gonna think they're gonna do, but it's really awesome. It's like creepy. It just has this weird look. It kind of like reminds me of, like, it's not like a vampire bat. It's more like a let's say if it's more of like a demonic fox bat, Yeah, fox bat. I'm trying to remember if I'm saying it right. The red fox bat. How they have the elongated snouts.
Oh yeah.
It kind of reminds me of those kind of bats. But including the size, it's kind of the same size as one of them too.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes. It's like it's pretty freaking awesome. Including they didn't try to give it fur. It was mostly skin and gross. Like, yeah, just basically just. Gross skin and like the burning marks that they added to when it gets sunlight was pretty awesome. And they carried that over into Jerry's human form style. So like they didn't lose continuity with the burning stuff. That was a nice thing they did.
Oh yeah, the fight scenes that they had with Jerry, Charlie, the zombie Billy. It's weird because now I'm thinking of our Billy and I'm like, Billy's not. It was, you know, just all the
we didn't even know he was a zombie.
It was like all of it was just really good, because you see Jerry has the upper hand for a little bit, then Charlie and Peter, you know, get them pushed back into a wall after they get rid of the zombie. And even right after that, here comes Amy as the vampire seductress, because she's like, Charlie, I got to tell you something. I'm a vampire. And then that's when he pulls the cross, and she's like, and she's just freaking out about it. And I'm like, it's so back and forth that the one-sidedness easily flips in a matter of two scenes. And I, and the favorite for me was when they were in the basement and Jerry is about to turn Peter. And then Charlie's like, not on my watch, bitch. And he just starts busting all the windows, trying to just illuminate as much of the room as Peter. He can. And even doing that, he's still, you know, struggling to keep him at bay, because there's so few windows and there's so much debris now that it takes like that last huge window or something that they broke, and it just propels him against the wall and just sets him ablaze.
Yep.
Yeah, that scene reminded me a lot of the ending scene of Gremlins when when Spike is like melting with the light from outside, and they're revealing the shades, and like all the sunlight is like creating him, like is melting him. It seemed pretty similar to that scene, but the effects were super cool. Like the whole movie was super impressive with the effects and the makeup effects. I thought that was the best aspect of it, was the makeup effects, and like I liked how they just completely wrote out the mom character too. They're like, oh yeah, I'm working night shifts, and like she was like so unimportant to the story, you know, and it was like fine. What the fuck was that?
I think he's talking to his mom. While we have a brief intermission.
Well, Matt's muted.
I do like that they wrote out the mom character, just because that would have been too many people involved at once, you know? Because you already have Evil Ed, you have Charlie, Peter Vincent, Amy, Jerry, Billy, and that itself is already six. The mom would have made seven, so, you know.
And she would have just gotten away. I almost thought that Ed, like, actually, like, took... I don't know, turned her into a vampire at some point when he was in her bed. That's what I thought at first. And I was like, oh yeah, she's working night shifts. So she just had a movie.
No, I remember that the mom's doing that. No, they did a good move by Xing the mom out of the movie with like, all right, she's working the night shift, like you guys are saying. And that made me happy that Ed is using that information to get closer to the characters in this movie. So like them, like was it Peter is like checking up on the mom, and the mom is not the mom. It's freaking Ed instead. I was like, that's Ed perfect.
With a raggedy Ann wig.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much more to say. What were you gonna say, man?
Well, I was going to just add to, like, that's the one thing I like about how Ed is using his friendship with Charlie, that he's knowing more information and using it to his advantage to trick up Charlie, because Charlie's not paying attention this whole time to anything new happening with everybody. So the mom's like, oh, I'm going to start night shifts. And then he's just like, all right, yeah, sure. What's it called? What's her name? The girlfriend Lily could have been like, I'm gonna go like fuck this other dude down the street, and he's like, oh, sure. And she could have got away with that. There's Ed, this whole movie, Charlie's been oblivious to everything, and Ed's using Charlie's obliviousness to his advantage. But I end up fighting Peter instead of Bill. Instead of Charlie in the whole time. So it's a neat factor they added to it.
I
don't want to talk about it. We haven't got there yet.
I feel like we should get to the. I feel like We should.
We should jump to conclusions. Wanted to throw this in before we get to final thoughts and conclusions. So this in the summer of 85, this was the second highest grossing horror movie, only surpassed by Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Oh, really? Huh.
Well, yeah. Well, it's Freddy.
I mean, it's like,
that's cool.
I mean, yeah, that's true. It is Freddy, but, you know, this did so well. It kept up with Freddy because, to me, the best Freddy films were the first three.
Well, like I told you, I believe I told you, Jerry, like, if anybody, like, talks about, like vampire movies to get people, like, that aren't into, like, black and white movies and don't want to go that far into, like, vampire movie style stuff, they went towards The Lost Boys and Fright Night. To, like, if you want to try out vampire movies, try these movies out, then go on further. If you want to branch backwards, go backwards. If you want to try to go forwards, try to go forwards.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, these were the two movies, and yeah, Fright Night, it works. It's not a bad movie.
And the movie, it box officed very well. It got almost $25 million, and it had a budget of about $9.25 million. So it did. It made, you know, $20 million in profit.
Wow.
So
it made about twice the amount to make it.
Yep. It was
just slightly about that. But at that time, you think about it.
That's a lot of. That's a decent good, rolling. Decent paycheck for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much money went into the effects. Like, how much of the budget went into their effects?
Because I would like assume a good portion of it.
Yeah.
Decent amount. If we would say, like, let's split up the movie in, like, three ways, that's not how they would do it. If it was a three-way thing, it'd be one-third of it would have been effect. Like, the digital, like, not digital. All the effects and visual effects.
Yeah, and the biggest name they had was Roddy McDowall. They didn't really have, like, none of the, like, the main cast was really known, you know, besides him, who played Peter Vincent. He was in Planet of the Apes. He plays, what's his name? Not Caesar, the other one, Cornelius. And
he played Cornelius. Yeah,
he plays what Cornelius in the original Planet of the Apes, and also for Batman knowledge and Batman animated series, he plays the Mad Hatter. He does the voice of the Mad Hatter, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I like back in the '80s too. Like, people in movies just looked like regular people. They weren't like flawless, like supermodels. They were just like people you could find off the streets, and that's like what makes it more realistic and more believable of that time era, is just like, yeah, these people just look like everyday, you know, Joes, or, you know, like, you could see these people on your street and, like, it would just be like, oh yeah, that's a normal person. But now everyone has to be like a fucking supermodel to be even, like, in most movies today. Yeah,
they have to have,
let's not get into this yet. Don't get into this yet. Let's talk about this in the next movie.
So,
but yes, I do understand what you're talking about. Yeah, I understand.
Go ahead and begin your final thoughts and review.
Okay. No, like, we've been talking about this whole movie discussion here for this 1985 edition of Fright Night. I enjoy the movie. I like the effects they use, the makeup, the music is awesome, like how we've all been stating. The acting is, I would say, is good, as decent acting. It's not, I didn't hate it. They did a great job playing the roles and kept going with it. It kept me interested the whole time and never made me say, I'm getting bored. So, like, I would say I'd give this movie a good, like, around decent 8 to like 8.5 area. I wouldn't say it's super perfect, but like for a horror movie, it's really hard to do a good horror movie. So for a horror movie rating, it's definitely around like it's like an 8 to an 8.5.
Okay.
Because they could have flopped with the horror movie stuff. Horror movies flop here and there. And if it doesn't work right, it fucking just goes somewhere else.
I'm gonna go ahead and go next. Josh, I was gonna save you for last.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm also gonna go behind suit with Crispy, and I'm gonna give this an 8.5. I've never knew the existence of the 85 Fright Night, because the next one that we're going to discuss, I remember like going to theaters with my best friend watching this, and I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I enjoyed the movie. But having watched, you know, the source material it was based from, this movie captured, it embodied like the heart of the 80s, because, you know, you had your slasher flicks back then, your creature features. So you had people who were like, that's all that they watched. And that's what we got with Charlie. He watched Charlie Vincent, Peter Vincent, not Charlie Vincent, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're combining the main characters.
You're combining.
Yeah. He watched
Peter Vincent, because he basically was.
And you could even see, like, even when he's like unsure of himself, something in the back of his mind is telling him, no, I know I'm right. My gut's telling me I'm right. And even with Jerry to Zombie, with Zombie Billy, who is, to me, was an unnecessary character. Everything just stuck together and enhanced what we already got as a good movie. And it took it another step beyond with how well the actors did with some of the scenes that I would think would be kind of cringy or kind of just, I'm not really digging it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely do that. I seen this movie before. It's been a couple years. And then rewatching it was a good refresher of the movie. Like, I was like, oh, it's a really fun movie. I would definitely recommend watching this during like Halloween, or like put this on like during a Halloween party. I think a lot of people will get a lot of enjoyment. And I like, even during the movie, they're like kind of stating that vampires are kind of outdated. Like, they're not in the, you know, the realm of like what is cool in pop culture at the time of the 80s. Like, they're talking about, like, they even mentioned it during the movie, like, kids your age like slasher films. They like, basically they're talking about, you know, Jason and Freddy Krueger and stuff. And it was kind of cool, like for that time, you know, the modern time of 1985, that this is the way to make a vampire movie kind of connect with a younger crowd too. It's connected to with a high school student, you know, he notices that his neighbor's a vampire. And I think it would work, you know, like, that's the movie still works today, like, completely on its own. Like, you don't need to remake it. But, you know, I think that it just shows the merit that you know, the story can work in a, like, any time period. And I think it would still work. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And like Jerry was saying, it just kind of it just screams 80s, like the whole movie, but like in the best possible way. Like, I wish movies were still made like this, because they don't make them like they used to. And I really wish they did. I want movies to be made like this. I would give this probably.